This is KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. This week on In the Garden Show with UC Master Gardeners, we feature the California Native Plant Society. I am Ann Liu, UC Master Gardener and KUCI staff host, and I'm excited to do a sequel to an earlier show called Native Plant Nursery. It featured Mike Evans, co-founder of Tree of Life Nursery in San Juan Capistrano. Today, we have Laura Camp, who has been general manager of Tree of Life Nursery since 2001. She is a board member and past president of the OC chapter of California Native Plant Society for 10 plus years. Statewide, she was president in 2014-15 and board member of the California Native Plant Society. Laura is an enthusiastic hiker, especially in Orange County's Casper's Wilderness Park. She lives and dreams all native plants, all the time. Her photos are posted on Flickr, F-L-I-C-K-R. Search for photos/Laura Camp/albums, and you'll see some magnificent plants and natural landscapes. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Thank you, Anne. It's great to be here.
Let's start with when and how California Native Plant Society got started and how it has grown since.
Well, goodness, the California Native Plant Society started back in the 60s, and it was started by a group of people in Berkeley, and it started around a kitchen table, and it was founded to help save a botanical garden in Berkeley. And at once they accomplished that, it grew from there. And now it's a statewide organization of 35 chapters, plus a chapter in Baja California. And it's got over 10,000 members.
That is very, very large, just from starting in the 60s.
That's right, about more than 50 years old now.
You must be proud.
I'm very happy to be associated with the California Native Plant Society, and I've really enjoyed my time working with them.
And you've been also very active in the Orange County chapter, correct?
That's right. One of the 35 chapters is the Orange County chapter, and we have a very active and very lively group that meets once per month.
Oh, I'm very interested in checking this out. Is open to the public?
Yes. Most of our events and certainly our general meetings are open to the public. In addition to our general meeting once a month, which is in Irvine, we also have field trips and other special events. And all of our activities can be found on our website, which is occnps.org.
And that stands for Orange County California Native Plant Society?
That's right.
Say the letters again.
occnps.org.
Very good. Now, this chapter shares the common mission for the whole statewide organization. What is the mission of the society?
The mission of CNPS is to conserve California native plants and their natural habitats. And in support of that, to increase the understanding, appreciation, and the horticultural use or gardening with native plants.
That is a noteworthy mission. What are some of your major programs?
The centerpiece program of the Native Plant Society is the conservation program. And we have a statewide program that's led by Greg Suba. And also at the local level, we have a committee chair, Celia Kucher, who does a great job of tracking local conservation issues.
Another program I see you have is a rare plant program. What is that?
The rare plant program is a really unique program that tracks the status and the location and the preservation of rare plants in California. And we have an extremely diverse and important flora in California. And there's a rare plant inventory that is maintained by the Native Plant Society and used by planners and preservationists all over the state.
And do you take an advocacy role in protecting these rare plants?
Yes, on our conservation side, we certainly do. But the rare plant program itself is very focused on keeping track of the exact data regarding these rare plants. So it's not about advocating. It's about the information and the statistics and just understanding the status of the rare plants, so that the people who are trying to preserve them have that information and have good scientific information.
And you have another program called a vegetation science program. What is that?
That is always one that people wonder about, because vegetation is such a general term. But in our case, we are concerned with understanding the habitats and the composition of the habitats all over California. And so the vegetation program will map those habitats, and they'll, in a scientific way, in an impartial way, put down what kind of plants are located in the different zones in California. And they've mapped a tremendous amount of California. I don't have those statistics in front of me, but they're working on understanding and mapping a great deal of it, so that we, again, know for planners which are the areas that are rare and important, which are the areas that are common. And so the vegetation program takes an overall view of habitats and the plants that are within those habitats.
Let's talk a little bit about the native plants. They live in a wide range of habitats. Can you describe the different zones or the types of native plants we have?
Sure. And the vegetation program is concerned with that. But here in Southern California, one of our major habitats is called coastal sage scrub. And that's probably the one that we're sitting on right now, or what it was at one time. And the coastal sage scrub is an incredibly diverse and beautiful habitat that is under threat, mostly from development. There's also a chaparral environments in our local areas. Those would be in our mountains. Again, another very beautiful and important habitat that supports a great deal of wildlife. And then those are two of the major ones in Southern California. There's also oak woodlands, beaches, deserts, and so on.
And from these habitats, I will be asking you, how can some of these plants be brought into our home gardens?
Okay,
we'll save that in a little bit when we talk about your gardening program, all right?
Okay, sounds good.
So we see that the California Native Plant Society has a lot of major programs. We've talked about the conservation, the rare plant, the vegetation program. Now, a large program, I'm sure, is your education program.
Education is a great program that's an umbrella and will cover all of the other programs, because education will encompass teaching about rare plants, teaching about habitats, teaching about conservation and how to advocate for rare plants and habitats. And it will cover adult education, you know, earlier education, and up to our very large conference, which happens once every 3 years.
Oh, tell me about your big conference coming up.
Yes, we're really excited. In 2018, in late January, early February, at the Los Angeles Airport Marriott, we will be hosting in our local area the Conservation Conference, the CNPS Conservation Conference, which is the largest conference of its kind devoted to bringing together people who are interested in preserving habitats.
And that includes beginners as well as people who have been deep in the field like you?
The conference is a scientific conference and has presentations that are science-based, but certainly a lay person could attend the conference and get a lot out of it. There are tracks, and you can pick and choose from among the things that you want to go to.
That sounds exciting. There's a pre-conference slate as well, isn't there?
Right. There are workshops prior to the conference. The pre-conference workshops will be on January 30th and 31st. And then the main conference starts on February 1st and goes through February 3rd. And so the pre-conference workshops are a really great place, too, because there are some really interesting things that that the layperson could get involved with, like drawing workshops or, just general art workshops. There's going to be several workshops that are about gardening and understanding how to garden with native plants.
I noticed that some of the activities include trips viewing some native plant gardens. Can you tell me about some of those?
Yes, there will be some field trips associated with the conference. I think our local people might want to check out the local chapter, the occnps.org website, and the field trip programs and the garden tours that the local chapter offers are very accessible and varied and really interesting for locals.
That sounds really exciting. As co-chair, you must be very, very busy.
You know, we have a wonderful staff that are doing a lot of the preparation, and I'm very proud of that and proud of our staff, and they put in a tremendous amount of time. My role has been a little bit more advisory, and I expect to be quite busy during the conference, too. This conference is very large, and there's going to be 1,200 people attending the conference.
1,200. And of those people, how many are members?
I don't know the statistics of that, but I don't. There is a discount for a person who's a member. So some people will join the society and attend the conference, and that's certainly encouraged.
For the general public listening to this show, if you're interested in reading more about this conference, how can they find out?
The website to go to the conference is conference.cnps.org.
And that will give me all the information I need?
You'll find anything you want to know about the conference there for sure.
Do you expect the conference to be full?
I've recently heard that we are expecting to sell out this conference around mid-January. So anybody that would be interested in checking it out and attending the conference should do that as soon as possible.
So if you're interested in native plants, and there would not be any reason not to be interested in native plants because they are around us and they are increasingly integrated into our home gardens. There isn't a day where I don't drive down a residential neighborhood where people have given up their lawns and introduce some native plants.
That's great, Anne. Good to hear it.
Now, what are some of the advantages of these native plants?
Well, native plants are really exciting for those of us that are involved with them. And I've been involved with gardening and enjoying gardens since my college days and even before. But since I moved to California and eventually got interested in native plants, there's kind of no going back from it because it's something that is so exciting to interact with in your gardens. And I think the main attraction for the homeowner and for anybody that's getting involved with native plants is the tremendous attraction to wildlife that you can see in your gardens. They're very beautiful, but also the birds and the pollinators, the butterflies, the lizards, you know, all of that is really fun, makes for a wonderfully active and beautiful garden.
So having native plants increase animal habitat.
I saw it in my own garden, and certainly I think the statistics bear out that native plants will support a much greater diversity and quantity of the native flora and fauna.
That's good to hear. I've been working really hard in my church garden recently, and I introduced many new native plants. And already I have seen more bees, more butterflies, and I hear more birds than I have in the past.
Wow, interesting.
And they are so colorful.
They certainly are.
Native plants don't have to be dreary and dry looking. You can have a very fresh looking, abundant feel in a native plant garden, depending on what you choose.
Yes. At the Native Plant Society and also where I work at Tree of Life Nursery, we really work hard to help people select the right plants for their garden so that they can really enjoy the beauty and, like you say, the beautiful colors and the wildlife that can be in part of their lives.
And best of all, native plants use less water.
That's something that we find is a really big draw, and I think a lot of people get involved with native plants at first because of that, because they want to save water. But there are plenty of ways to save water in your garden, including putting concrete down, and that's not something that we advocate, but it's having drought-tolerant plants is certainly an advantage of native plant gardening.
And I remember Mike had talked about changing the earth forms so that there's swales to collect water, rainwater, so that there's less of a need to water frequently.
Yes, that kind of gardening, sometimes people will call it a watershed approach or part of a watershed approach, where you can capture the rainwater in your garden and efficiently water your garden year-round is really a great way. You have to design things properly, and that's something we try to help people with.
Now, if people were interested in getting native plants, they might say, oh, when I go hiking, I can pick some plants and bring them home and plant them in the garden. Do you advise that?
No, certainly not. And it's not necessary to do that, you know, nor will you get good results from that. I've seen people carrying native plants out of the wild when I go hiking with the expectation that they'll turn around and plant them. They feel like they'll take a piece of a succulent or a part of a plant, and usually that's not successful, and it's better to get plants from a reputable nursery. And in addition, you don't want to damage the habitats.
And I believe it is also illegal without a permit.
In national forests and county parks and those types of places, certainly it is illegal, and definitely private property it would be frowned upon.
I'm sure I wouldn't. Well, maybe. Depends. If they're nice, I might let people have some of my cuttings and such, but it's something not preferred. Plus, if you were to get it from a nursery, a reputable nursery, the plants are more likely to survive because they have rooted.
Yes, you want to look for healthy and healthy plants and healthy root balls and appropriate sizes, and plant them properly, and your garden will be thriving in no time.
Now, we had talked a little bit about planting them properly in the first podcast that we did, and you can listeners can go on our website to listen to the first part of Native Plant Gardens. You can go on our website, mgorange@ucanr.edu. And if you were to go on that website and go to our archives of past shows, you can see the earlier show with the co-founder of Tree of Life Nursery, Mike Evans. That podcast is called Native Plant Nurse. Let me let the audience know, this is the In the Garden show produced by University of California Master Gardeners. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Ann Liu, interviewing Laura Camp, past president of the California Native Plant Society. Laura, I think the mission of California Native Plant Society works right alongside with the UC Master Gardener mission to extend research-based, scientifically accurate information to the public about home horticulture and pest management. In fact, Master Gardeners are encouraged to participate in your upcoming conference, and we can count that toward our required continuing education hours.
Well, great. I really look forward to seeing many Master Gardeners at the conference, and I hope they'll look for me and introduce themselves.
That would be wonderful. Now, we had talked a bit on the different programs that the California Native Plant Society has, and one of the largest programs that I'm interested in is the gardening program. So I was absolutely delighted to go on your website and find a whole inventory of native plants. A nice native plant inventory with a photo library of almost 7,000 native plants. And they were all grouped by trees, shrubs, perennials, annuals, grasses, succulents, vines, sun and also shade lovers, ground covers, low water plants, and damp soil plants. There was even a category of very easy native plants, and I was very interested in that because in some areas of my garden, I don't want to work really hard caring for those plants. I want them to survive as if they were the native plants that have been here for hundreds of years. There was a spot where I entered my home address and found 543 plants native to my particular address. Can you believe that?
Wow, great.
543 plants. Of course, I cannot choose all 500, but with a photo library, with the photos and the stories behind them, with a description on how high they grew, how much water they needed, it really helped me to plan on what I can introduce to my garden, because I'm not going to change it completely all at once. I want to just slowly introduce a few at a time, but I know that likes have like watering needs, and so you have to plant likes together, right?
Right, right. That's great. Yes, the California Native Plant Society program, CalScapes, has been introduced within just the last few years, and it's been a really tremendously successful program, and the aim is to help people understand and what is native to their area and what they can plant in their gardens. And like you mentioned, you can put in your zip code and you can get a really good idea of what plants, with the focus of what plants are native in your area, and that can be a really good indicator of what will be successful for you.
It was fun. I saw something that said the 3 P's of native plant gardening: plant local, plant light, and plant well.
Yes, I love that. Plant local is one of the things that the Native Plant Society does emphasize.
So that means to choose plants that are from the local area.
Yes, that's something that the Native Plant Society advocates in general. And the CalScapes program, it's very practical, and I think the practicality is that you can certainly plant plants from other parts of California, but having the core of your garden be plants that are native to what would have been there originally is really makes your maintenance easier and makes it more likely that your soils will be compatible with those plants. And I think another thing for your listeners or our listeners to consider is that a lot of our habitats in California have been overrun by development. And, you know, we still have some of our mountain areas and we still have quite a few wonderful native areas in Orange County. But what planting with native plants can do is bring the habitats back down into our neighborhoods where they were displaced by all the development. And bringing those habitats back into our neighborhoods then can bring back the pollinators, can bring back the birds, and really help help transform neighborhoods to the way that California heritage was.
To look more natural and beautiful the way it used to be.
That's right.
Without having to look like an English cottage garden wannabe. Now, plant light allows me to put the plant in the ground without having to add a lot of amendments.
That can be true. Yes, it can depend on your soils. You know, some soils are very difficult, and I think we hear a lot of times at the nursery about people with very heavy clay soils. People that have difficult soils need to be working with that and thinking about that, and they'll learn how to deal with their soils. But in general, yes, planting light, you can plant your the local natives. Usually the amendment or the what you have to do to plant is not that extensive. I think the other thing it might refer to is the fact that you can use fewer pesticides, you can produce less waste than, for instance, a typical lawn where you're constantly mowing. Those things are light on the environment and light on the habitats.
It's much more organic and healthy.
That's right.
Less allergies for us. And plant well.
I think that plant well, and to me, would be to select a habitat and, you know, select the plants that will work well together.
group the plants so that they share the same needs for water, light, nutrients, and such.
Right, and plant them with appropriate spacing so they have room to grow, those types of things.
Yes. Too often we put a plant in the ground and think that they're awfully nice just right there, and before you know it, it's gotten 10 times bigger, especially with native plants. They can get very large.
I've certainly done that in my own garden, yes.
And so planting well means to first check what the size of the plant is when they're mature.
Yes, it's really a good idea to think about that ahead of time.
There was a time when native plants were mostly available in faraway nurseries like Tree of Life, but now I'm finding them in my local nurseries.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. Good to hear it. Well, Tree of Life is a really great resource for Orange County, for San Diego County, and accessible to both of those, I would say, very easily. But there's still a lack of supply of native plants in general. So I consider us, you know, and I feel proud to be part of helping to supply Orange County with native plants at Tree of Life Nursery.
That's going to lead me into a question that I want to save for the half hour, for after the half hour intermission, because I want you to tell me more about your role as general manager of Tree of Life Nursery, especially since you've been there now for 16 years. That's a very, very long time. Let me let the audience know, if you have a question about a native plant, I would advise you first to go on their website, California Native Plant Society, CNPS. They have a wonderful website with lots of information, lots of menu choices. And if you go on their photo library, it's quite extensive. Imagine 7,000 native plants are in this library. And I understand that they're going to, they're going to
update the website.
They're going to update the website very soon. Maybe next year they're going to have 8,000 native plants. Who knows? Because they keep on finding new ones, I'm sure, right? They do add new ones as they go
on. There are new discoveries that can be very exciting, yes.
Ooh, I want you to tell me about some of the new ones. You can think about that while I'm telling the audience about where else you can go for any of your gardening questions. So for the native plant question, I would recommend you first go on the Native Plant Society website. If you have more questions, you can go to their local chapter. You can go to their meetings, bring samples. But this show is produced by University of California Master Gardeners, and we have a hotline. And you can ask any question regarding your garden, whether it's about plants or pests in your garden. Hotline at mgorange.ucanr.edu. That stands for Master Gardener Orange County. So it's hotline at mgorange.ucanr.edu. ANR stands for Agriculture and Natural Resources .edu. This is the In the Garden show, produced by UC Master Gardeners. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Ann Liu, interviewing Laura Camp, past president of the California Native Plant Society. She was also past president of the Orange County chapter of the CNPS for 10 plus years, and presently she is the board member of the OC chapter. So you have a good chance of meeting her if you attend any of the monthly meetings they have on the third Thursday, you
That's say? Right.
The third Thursday of each month they meet at the Duck Club, very close to UC Irvine. Statewide, she was president in 2014-15 and board member of the California Native Plant Society. She is an enthusiastic hiker, especially in Orange County's Casper's Wilderness Park. She lives and dreams all native plants all the time. The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. All right, now we're back with Laura. You have been general manager of Tree of Life Nursery since 2001. In my earlier interview with Mike Evans on the Native Plant Nursery Show, he described Tree of Life as the largest wholesale California native plant nursery in the state. Is it still the same?
And we are a very large nursery and supply a great deal of native plants, and certainly one of the largest in California.
And how has your experience on the job impacted your involvement in the state's Native Plant Society?
That's a really interesting question, and I've been working with Tree of Life Nursery in some capacity or another since 1996, and I've been the general manager for the last 3 or 4 years. My initial involvement with them was financial and general management, and moving to the title of general manager. And when I decided to get involved with the local chapter of the Native Plant Society, I did it because I felt that there were ways that Tree of Life Nursery could benefit the Native Plant Society, and certainly there had already been a big connection between the Native Plant Society and Tree of Life Nursery, and vice versa, that there were things that the Native Plant Society would probably, that a closer association with the Native Plant Society would probably benefit Tree of Life Nursery. And I think it's been a great synergy between the two organizations.
Wonderful. Now, I read some things on your website about clean nursery practices. Was this a hands-on sharing of information with the society?
There's a big emphasis on a statewide level right now of an awareness, trying to bring an awareness to people of the importance of clean nursery practices, because diseases and pests can be transmitted and spread through nursery stock. And so it's important for people to understand that, and for a nursery such as Tree of Life to adopt best management practices and to minimize and work hard to produce healthy, clean nursery stock, and therefore to keep gardens clean.
I've been in your nursery. Can you describe some of those clean nursery practices?
Sure. So it's important to start from the very beginning. Tree of Life Nursery grows plants from seeds and cuttings. It's important to have clean and disease-free seeds and cuttings right from the very beginning. And then the soil mixes that we use to propagate the plants and to grow them up into the larger pots, those soil mixes are prepared from non-soil materials. The soils are non-soil mixes.
They're not synthetic, are they?
No, they are composted forest products. We have three different kinds of forest products that are brought into the nursery, and they're mixed and mixed together, and then they're composted just like you would compost in your backyard, where you put the ingredients together and you give them time to turn into a soil.
And you include some perlite as well for aeration?
For some of the applications we do, that's right. And so it's important to use clean soils and to not reuse soils, because if you reuse them, the diseases can move from one to the other. It's also important to use new and clean pots. So all of those practices we follow, and many others besides, to make sure that we have clean nursery stock and clean plants to sell to the public and to restoration and landscaping jobs.
I am glad you mentioned that, because I think the home gardener often tries to reuse some of the soil from a past plant. Is it better then to put the old soil into the ground and put in a new potting mix for a potted plant?
If you're working with a potted plant and you're trying to use the same soil from a previous pot, a lot of times that soil will be pretty exhausted in terms of what nutrients it has in it and so forth. So I would say yes, a lot of times it's better to start fresh.
And we were saving this question. I wanted to know you know what are some new plants that have come out on the market?
Wow. Well, we have a large variety of plants, and I would say we sell at Tree of Life Nursery 500 to 600 different varieties of California native plants. And it's one of the things that we pride ourselves on is the variety that we have. And it takes a lot of expertise to propagate and to grow all those plants. And some of the things that are very popular, or maybe one of my favorites, are buckwheats. Mm. There are local buckwheats, but there's also buckwheats from around the state, and they're wonderful pollinator plants. And maybe I could feature one that is from the Channel Islands, the Areogonum arborescens, mm-hmm. the Santa Cruz Island buckwheat, mm-hmm. which is a really beautiful buckwheat that is used very successfully in Orange County gardens and in San Diego County gardens.
That sounds beautiful, does it? What color is the flower?
The flowers are sort of a creamy pinkish color.
Oh, that sounds really pretty. I am always excited at seeing what's new for the home gardener, and that would be fun just to shop.
You know, I think native plants are new to a lot of people, even the ones that are common.
Now let's turn a little bit from the home garden back to the society, because I know the society does several projects, some statewide projects, where they call for volunteers and supporters. Can you tell about some of the projects?
A great way to get involved with the California Native Plant Society is at the local chapter. And the Orange County chapter is going to be working really hard on that in the next year to help people who want to make a difference to get involved locally and to get involved in an area that they find exciting for themselves. And there's a lot of different needs. And for people that have experience with plants and with native plants, and for people who don't, maybe want to bring expertise such as social media or newsletters, or they just like to do certain data management type of things, or working with websites, or planning field trips can be done by people who are really, you know, new enthusiasts to native plants. So all of those things are really great ways to start getting involved with the society. And I would say statewide involvement comes after that.
Always start on the local level.
Yes.
Right? Now, I read about a project. It was a restoration project that got organized after the big fires up in Northern California. And it was called the Re-Oak Wine Country. The wine country around Santa Rosa was really, really destroyed. And many of the oaks, the grand oaks that have been growing there for many, many, many long years, were destroyed. And 31,000 acres of oak habitats burned. And that, besides the fire, they were already impacted by some disease and development. So there were less and less oaks, and oaks are really important for carbon sequestration, capturing the carbon in the air, and that helps to reduce climate change. This project of restoring oaks was a project of collecting acorns and processing them and keeping them in their local area and replanting them. This was on public as well as private land. Do you know about that project?
Yes, I'm really proud of the Native Plant Society's involvement in this project, and it's something that the public and really got behind. And even in the midst of our staff in Sacramento, even in the midst of a big planning effort to get this conference happening at the end of January and early February, and everything else that they always do, with the fires that happened, the need arose to help organize this project of collecting these acorns from a large number of people and places, categorizing them, like you said, where they came from, making sure that the acorns are disease-free and appropriate for the areas. And then there's going to be a lot of groups I know that are involved in the planting out and helping to restore the woodlands that, as you say, have been burned. Many habitats will come back from fire, and some of our California habitats are adapted to fire. And this project is something that I think people can really feel good about, and I think the Native Plant Society is very proud to be involved with.
That sounds exciting, to be involved in something that is so worthwhile for supporting animal life, including pollinators and birds. Plus, having oaks nearby your property actually raises the value of the land.
Oak trees are amazing, and once you learn about the number of, for instance, caterpillars that oak trees can support, and the number and variety of caterpillars, and then that therefore supports bird life, they're incredibly important to the environment. And here in Southern California, we have the coast live oak, which is a great tree that can be planted in many of our neighborhoods, and is a really beautiful tree that supports a tremendous amount of wildlife.
I understand that the society also hosts events like the Gardens Gone Native tours. Is there one in Southern California?
Yes, the local chapter, the Orange County chapter, in the spring has sponsored a native plant garden tour for the past 9 or 10 years. And many of the chapters have garden tours that feature native plant gardens. Last year, our garden tour was in association with the Rancho Santa Margarita Water District. And one of our members who worked for the water district, Kristen Wernick, has now gone to work for the state CNPS, and she's involved with planning these garden tours and planning the horticulture events. And she's a young woman that I expect great things from, and that we all should support and get to know. What I really enjoy in our local garden tour is how much the owners love sharing their experiences with their native plant gardens. And every plant has a story, and it's really fun to hear those stories.
It's as good as having a dog and walking your dog. Laura, I was wondering if there was anything else you would like to add. We are coming to the end of the show. We have about 10 minutes left. Is there something you would like to say about the society or about the plants themselves?
And I think that it's really interesting that even with a lot of people do know about California native plants, but a lot of people are really very unaware of the great variety of native plants that we have available. And I would really love to see, and we all work really hard to try to increase the awareness of native plants. And in the wild areas, because it's so important to protect them, and in gardens, because they can make really beautiful gardens and help to revegetate our state. And native plant gardening is great because it helps people relate to the plants at another level. And so when you have a buckwheat in your garden and you see the pollinators that come and you see how it changes during the year, and then you go out into the wild and you see it in the wild, you have a relationship with that plant at a whole different level. And I think that native plant gardening really gives us that, and it's a relationship with California that is like no other. And I'm a transplant to California, and it took me a while to understand and appreciate California's beauty, but it's a unique beauty and it's a really important one. And I think that when you know plants and you get to know them, you really start to relate to the location where you are. And I think, you know, native plants are really beautiful and they belong here. And I think that it's great that you're doing this today. And, at whatever level, whether it's one plant in your garden or whether it's getting out into our local parks, I encourage people to reach out and understand about native plants.
It's like adopting a new child. I kind of look at my plants as that, my little friends, talking to my plants, to my little children. And if I'm out on a hike and I have seen that plant out in the wild and I have it in my own garden, there is a very special relationship. It's like a living souvenir.
That's a good point. And the Native Plant Society and also Tree of Life Nursery have a lot of free programs that people can come to and learn more about the native plants. And I encourage people to take advantage of that.
I forgot we had that as part of our first show. Listeners, this is a sequel to an earlier show where I interviewed Mike Evans, who is co-founder of Tree of Life Nursery in San Juan Capistrano. And he talked about some of the programs on Saturdays. Some are art drawing, right? And some are growing.
Yes, anything we can think of that, you know, relates to native plants and that people would like to hear about. I myself have given talks about native plants for hummingbirds, and where I talk about the hummingbirds and I'm kind of a amateur birder from way back, and talk about the hummingbirds and the plants and the interaction there. And maybe we'll have a talk about color in your garden year-round. This weekend, unfortunately, it's a little late to sign up for this, but people do love this. When I left the nursery today, Mike Evans was preparing for tomorrow's workshop, which is a wreath-making workshop. And he has some wonderful native materials prepared for people to make fresh wreaths for their Christmas season. And
how fun.
And it's it's really great. I think next Friday we'll have another one. But like I said, it might be a little late for people to sign up for this year, but something to look forward to. We always have exciting things going on at the nursery, and the Native Plant Society programs are very lively and well attended as well.
You can find native plant activities at one of the Master Gardener venues at Rayata Park and Event Center. And if you went on the Master Gardener website, you will see in the events calendar names of classes that are ongoing at that Rayata Park and Event Center, as well as other places in Orange County. After all, we are UC Master Gardeners of Orange County, and we work all the way up in Yorba Linda and Brea, all the way south to San Clemente. And if you go on our website, mgorange@ucanr.edu, you will find our event calendar, as well as a list of our radio podcasts. We have been recording shows now for almost 3 years, and you can see the sequel. This is the sequel to the first show called Native Plant Nursery, and this show is called the California Native Plant Society. They will be paired together on our list in our archives, and you can listen to both of them. And it's wonderful because Mike and Laura work together.
That's right.
Now, Laura, before we end the show, is there anything else you want to include on this show?
I think I'd like to acknowledge some of my peers at the California Native Plant Society. The executive director, Dan Glusenkamp, has really been a wonderful leader for the Native Plant Society. Here locally, my conference co-chair, Brad Jenkins, is someone who does a tremendous amount of work behind the scenes, both at the state level. He's also a past president of the state organization. And at the local level, he is now going to be our chapter president in the upcoming couple of years. And I expect, you know, wonderful things with Brad. We have a number of great leaders. One of them is Ron Vanderhoff, who is the general manager at Rogers Gardens, and he's extremely active in our local society and somebody that has worked a lot with especially field trips and invasive plant management. We have so many great programs that, if anybody's interested in native plant gardening or other aspects of native plant preservation, I encourage them to seek out the Native Plant Society, and we will be, you know, more than happy to welcome you and to hopefully incorporate you into our group.
And one more time, the website?
The local chapter website is occnps.org. So that's Orange County, California Native Plant Society. And you know, in working with the Native Plant Society and with Tree of Life Nursery, we have some tremendous resources in Orange County, and we are working hard to expand the use of native plants in our county.
And I would very much like to see an increase of native plants in all places in Orange County. It's exciting to see the impact that the society has made in making us more aware of returning to our earlier days of Orange County, what it used to look like.
Well said, Anne.
If listeners would like to hear the show again, you can find it in our In the Garden archives on our Orange County Master Gardener website, mgorange@ucanr.edu. This show is called California Native Plant Society. It has been a real pleasure to have you on the show, Laura.
Thank you, Anne. This is a unique and fun experience for me.
Thank you for your time. I know how busy you are, especially at this season and in preparation for this huge conference that you're planning in January.
Yes, it's a busy time.
Plus you're the general manager of Tree of Life Nursery, which must keep you very, very busy and on your toes.
Indeed.
No sleep for the weary. This is KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine, In the Garden Show. This is UC Master Gardener and radio host, Ann Liu. Thank you for listening, and tune in again next Thursday at 8:30 in the morning. Remember, gardeners live happier and healthier lives.